Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. Seriously, make it stop. Thankfully, there's one company out there that's giving you a much-needed break. It's Mint Mobile. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save a ton with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/switch. That's mintmobile.com/switch.
Hello. This is a podcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Gone Off Meat. No, goodness gracious me, no. Goldfish missing. No. Gossip mongers. Yes. Gossip mongers. Yes. Yes. That's it. Gossip mongers. Welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
This is from Anonymous. Hi all. When I was in the early years of secondary school, we had a woodwork design teacher who was by all accounts a little bit weird, but didn't seem that out of the ordinary in the grand scheme of things, although he did seemingly think quite a lot of himself.
He thought a lot of
woodwork what? Teacher.
What, really confident woodwork teacher?
Imagine him soaring, just giving a...
With his top off.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed, the only notable precursor to the main event was that he once used a laser cutter to write "Sir is fit" onto a piece of plastic.
What the fuck is going on in his head?
This was, looking back, a little bit of a red flag, given that he was very proud of this and that we're all about 11.
Sir is fit. He's Sir, isn't he?
Yeah. Of course he is.
And he just twerked. I love the fact he hasn't said, like, Mr. Hunt is fit, but Sir is fit. Because you have to call him Sir, don't you?
Oh, God. One day, this teacher vanished. The reason for this was apparently that he'd become involved in somewhat of an altercation with a student. In a poor attempt at some banter, he had said, "Yeah, but I shagged your mum."
Oh, dear.
In response to a student giving him some chip.
What an idiot.
The student, a stocky rugby player in final year, then naturally sought to resolve this issue by locking him in a nearby stock cupboard. I often wonder just how he managed to do that. Perhaps he was very persuasive. And so the design teacher was stuck inside the cupboard while the class ran riot. Following this, the student gained considerable fame, and it was seemingly considered by all, including the teachers at the school, that he had done what anybody would have done in that situation. The teacher was never seen at school again. Cheers, Anonymous. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Hey kids, what do you think about me? You think I'm hot? You think I'm hot? Sir is fit. Sir is fucking fit. Gossip number two.
The story took place in 2018. My female friend, let's call her Rachel, who lives with her young daughter in a pretty row of cottages, returned from work one evening to find a handwritten letter on our doormat. As my friend is under 30, you can imagine the shock, which was swiftly followed by a strong sense of confusion at receiving such an archaic item. Rachel, intrigued by the contents of the letter, discovered quite quickly that it had been delivered by her elderly neighbour, Bruce. We know very little about Bruce. Mm. Rachel has only encountered him once in the couple of years that she has lived in said row of cottages. He's elderly and believed to live on his own, but that is all the information we can offer. Anyway, the letter, word for word, read as follows. Dear Rachel and partner, Rachel, I've only ever spoken to you once. When you first came to Shittsville and asked if you could stow away some garden refuse you had from the turnout in your garden, I was unable to assist because I've never had a green wheelie bin. I might be able to help you now, though, if you wanted and your partner agreed. To try and cut a long story short, I noticed the other day as your oldest girl child went past my kitchen window.
Is he a wizard?
What a really perfect adult-styled manicure someone had given her. Right. It should be said Rachel only has one girl child, who would have been around 10 at the time. You were also in the garden, and I thought if the person who had given your daughter the flattering manicure gave you one like it, would you consider letting me paint your fingernails and toenails on one of the very flattering shades of red nail polish? I'll read that again. Would you consider letting me paint your fingernails and toenails one of the very flattering shades of red nail polish?
I like how much work you're having today.
So it's gone from wheelie bin. If you and your partner agree to this, the best time to do it might be when you and your partner were going out for the evening.
And you, the best time for me to freak you out.
And you wanted to look extra lovely for me. As well as this, you might like it done at any time because it would look really great. And you may like to wear it all of the time and have updates when it needed doing again. If any of this interests you, brackets, it didn't, funnily enough, and your partner agrees...
I love the partner. I am not stepping on anyone's toes here. I want the partner... I want it to be very clear what the partner involved.
I have a very comfy armchair for you to sit in... And a side table, which you can rest your hand whilst I paint your nails.
Oh, so I'm going to be comfortable while you do it.
Please, okay. Could you answer this letter with one of your own put through my mail slit?
My mail slit. See, we need to ask her.
Yours sincerely, Bruce.
Forever yours, Bruce.
After Rachel shared the letter with me and I had finished pissing myself, I encouraged her to reply. She duly did with her own handwritten letter to inform Bruce that although she appreciated the offer, she would have to pass on such an opportunity. She didn't want to be unkind, so gave some bullshit about she has a regular nail technician that looks after her nails, and so his services were not required. To my great delight, Bruce responded with another handwritten letter, which Rachel received a few days later.
Oh, my God, I'm excited.
The letter stated, word for word, as follows.
Oh, God.
Dear Rachel and partner, I would like to make an offer of about £80,000.
What?
That I am owed for the sale of my father's property. The £80,000 is my share of the sale. My offer would be for a private school education for your two daughters. Brackets, she only had one daughter. In return, I would paint your nails and do as much beautician work as I wanted to.
Is he an elderly man?
I don't want to tread on your beautician's toes.
I'm sorry. I'm imagining if you got this letter.
Oh, God.
You'd move, wouldn't you?
I can...
I'm dealing with that every day.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I don't want to tread on your beautician's toes. So couldn't she carry on the normal amount of work she does for you? And I do my routine on you twice a week. Every week. Twice a week. Every week. She hasn't spoken to him in 2 years. This is the opener.
No, it's the second time, to be fair. First time was to talk about garden refuge. Second time, can I be
your...
I want
to go back to that wheelie bin bit.
I want you to rattle on, to be honest.
Each session would probably take up the whole morning. But it'd be worth it.
For me.
The two days would have to be Wednesday and Friday. One reason for Friday would be that if you both wanted to go out that evening for a romantic time, you would look really great and that would be really nice for both of you.
And your partner.
The money that I can't touch because it pays my bills, you would both inherit on my passing away.
Oh, my God.
In addition, if you think if I painted your two daughters' nails is going too far... She only has one fucking daughter. Then how about if I played games like Scrabble with them? I have dictionary. I have a dictionary, and they could therefore learn a lot of words and their meanings. I'm hoping this will last me not less than 12 years and not more than 18.
Well, that's how long
brackets,
he thinks he's going to live.
I literally have no idea what this sentence means. Bruce, best wishes, Bruce. P.S., please can you answer this letter?
With another letter?
P.P.S. I don't want to irritate you both, so if you aren't, your answer is no, then I will not bother you anymore. In addition, I like looking at you, Rachel, when you're in the garden. Please don't take offence.
What a guy.
Rachel did not respond, and that was that.
Oh, Rachel, bloody hell.
Fuck me.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Let me paint your fingernails. Just pop it through my mail slit. Bruce. Bruce. Just pop it through my mail slit. Fingernails. Fingernails. Pop it through my mail slit. Gossip number 3.
Okay, so this is from Stew. Stew Pot. No, some stew in Basingstoke. Hi, guys. Now, I don't know the people involved in this saucy tale, but the guy who told me said it definitely happened to someone his mate used to work with a few years ago. Robert, we'll call him, had just split up with his medium-term serial cheating girlfriend. Unfortunately, they'd rented a flat together. After she left him and the bills unpaid for the flat, his mum said, "Why don't you move back in with us?" Robert's memory of the old days was predominantly wanking over thehun.com in his loft room. So Robert moved back in and quickly got back into his wanking routine. Fucking hell. Why? Wake up, wank. Breakfast, wank. Come home from work and shower, wank. It was fun. Jesus Christ. Then one sunny weekend, Robert's parents informed him they were having a garden party and it would be nice if he could show his face, even for half an hour, to say hi to the vicar and the other do-gooders from the village. Robert had been out the night before and got smashed with his newly acquainted old friends. He sloped back in about 11 a.m. after staying at a mate's house. Needless to say, Mum was less than impressed. Guests were due any minute. Robert threw some food down him and went upstairs to shower and change his clothes. He cracked the velux of the stuffy loft room and decided on a quick wank to put some colour in his cheeks.
Nice.
Does it put colour in his cheeks? Midway through the act, Robert could hear his mum calling, "Robert, Robert." God. He angrily shouted, "Yeah, I'll be 2 minutes, I'm changing." His mum kept calling, "Robert, Robert." He sat up angrily and frustrated, unable to climax with his own mother calling his name. He glanced upwards to see a full garden of guests watching his wank in a large tilted velux window reflection.
Really?
I guess so. Oh, right, so it's tilted.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, well, we've got a velux, yeah. It's tilted, and then they were looking up on a hot sunny day, I presume.
Oh, God.
Robert! Needless to say, he didn't finish his wank.
Do you think that happened?
Don't care.
In she goes.
Pop that in.
Can you see me tugging my sausage roll? Look above your head in the reflection of the window. Hello. Can you see me tugging my sausage roll? Can you see me tugging my sausage roll? Look above your head in the reflection of the window. Hello. Gossip number 4.
Right, this is from Anonymous. There was this bloke in Brighton who lived on the beach. Legend has it no one had ever seen him. You only heard him in summer nights when it was warm enough to wear shorts. Legend goes he would tuck the top of a spoon inside his foreskin so that just the handle would be poking out.
Well, apparently, hold on. What? Say that. Can you say that again?
The head of the spoon in his foreskin. The round bit. The scoopy bit.
That goes into his foreskin, right?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, oh, I see, your foreskin. Yeah. I was thinking of the slit where the wee comes out.
Yeah, the male slit.
The male slit. Lovely little callback.
Apparently, all his shorts were lined with a thin metal plate so that when he got an erection, the spoon would tap gently on the metal like someone playing a triangle. Apparently, the sound got so loud that people believed he made it all the way to a serving spoon. My friend said she was sitting with a mate by the pier at midnight when they heard a distant ting getting louder and louder, but there was no one around. Ting, 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 and then nothing. Some people say, take it as a compliment, you gave him a boner.
What is going on?
It's so weird.
What's going on?
Take that as a compliment.
Oh, I gave a man with a spoon in his cock a bone.
Fuck me, that's weird.
It's going in.
Shove a spoon in my cock, and like a grandfather clock, I make a funny noise, like ting, ting, ting. If you hear the ting, you'll know I have a stalk on. If you hear the ting, you'll know I have a stalk on. Lighting, ting, ting. Lighting, ting, ting. If you hear the ting. If you hear the ting, you'll know I have a stalk on. If you hear the ting, you'll know I have a stalk on. If you would like to support the podcast and get a chance to listen to the episodes early, watch videos, that kind of thing, come over to patreon.com/gossipmongers. Thank you. That's patreon.com/gossipmongers. Thank you. Gossip number 5.
This is from Rich. Hi, David and Joe. After listening to all the episodes, I felt the time was right to unleash the local legend that is Morris. Tread with caution. The wormhole of weird shit that happens to this guy is seemingly never ending. This is just one story about him. This piece of gossip I consider to be true, as it was told to me in the pub by the main protagonist in the story of the story. We'll call him Morris, because that's close enough to his name, while making a token effort to preserve his anonymity. Morris is one of those people who is just weird. Physically, he looks a bit like a rubber Johnny filled with custard. Anyway, this gossip is about Morris and a woman he met several years ago called Shirley, who he somewhat affectionately calls his fourth favourite wank.
His fourth favourite wank.
Morris and one of his odd mates, let's call him Glenn, were out in the local pub having a standard night staring at women and discussing wrestling. All of a sudden, in very much a break from tradition, an older woman approached their table. This was Shirley. She was on her own, and she was very drunk. After some vaguely incoherent flirting from Shirley, she absolutely insisted that Morris and Glenn accompany her back to her house for a nightcap, and who knows what else. Now, for the two work-shy, chain-wanking, comic book aficionados like Morris and Glenn, this was an opportunity not to be missed. Morris quickly called a cab, and the three of them got in, excited at the prospect of a three-way with a random stranger they'd just met. As soon as they got in the taxi, Shirley grabbed the driver and started kissing him.
Forgot about the two lads.
According to Morris, she gave him a right old tonguing. This was concerning to Morris, as there were now potentially three men involved. Which was a larger penis to vagina ratio than he would like. He could have bailed out at this point, but luckily for us, he didn't. They arrived at Shirley's house, and thankfully for Morris, the taxi driver was happy with a tongue sandwich, so didn't join them inside for the main event. Shirley now did her best to seduce the two young chronic masturbators who had joined her. This basically involved her stripping to her pants and bra in the kitchen. Ordinarily, this would have been a green light for Morris, but just as she did this, a side door opened and in walked Shirley's 16-year-old son.
Oh, God.
This came something of a shock to the whole room, who were now standing awkwardly in silence. Morris could have bailed out at this point. Luckily for us, he didn't. Feeling embarrassed for the son, Morris offered to make him a cup of tea and sat with him for a few minutes while Shirley took Glenn into another room.
Marking his homework.
After a brief and reassuring chat about how school was going with the son, Morris joined Glenn and Shirley in the other room. Despite the appearance of her son, Shirley was still in her bra and pants and was now doing her best attempt to pick up where they left off by performing a seductive dance. Things were heating up for the trio, and I believe tentative discussions were made about which end of the pitch each one would start before changing ends at half-time. However, before they had a chance to get into it, the door swung open again and stood in the doorway was the son. He was holding a massive dildo.
Oh, fuck, I hope this isn't real.
He walked silently across the room and placed it upright on the table. His face had the look of, oh, for fuck's sake, Mum, not again. And he simply said, enjoy your night, before going to bed. Leaving the three of them stood looking at the imposing, colossal rubber cock. It was finally at this point where the sense of decency had kicked in and Morris decided that he should probably leave. With a heavy heart of not getting to have a threesome, Morris finished his tea, made his excuses and walked home alone. To this day, Morris regrets leaving early. As it turns out, Glenn decided to stay. And he got a blowjob out of it.
So pissed.
Shirley moved away not long after and Glenn became a born-again Christian.
What a night.
As for Morris, quite why this is his fourth favourite wank is something only Morris will... If I ever find out the top three, I'll let you know.
Please, please do.
I hope you enjoy this, and thanks for a brilliant podcast. Cheers, Rich. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Oh, God, so basic.
Mm.
Essentially, met an old woman in
and
the pub.
Her son.
Her son came in, ruined the mood, went home.
She be my fourth favorite wank. Yeah? That's what she is. Nice to look back on, but night. Topless. My fourth favorite wank. She is. She be my fourth favorite wank. Yeah? My fourth favorite wank. She is. Gossip number 6.
This is from Nat from London. I used to be a regular in many dives around North London. I decided I wanted to improve myself and class up a bit. I went to a very posh bar with a friend and we got talking to a very handsome artist and his pals. This artist was interested in me. I couldn't believe it. He asked us all back to his for an after party and we headed to the bus stop to get the night bus. En route, everyone wanted to get a bite, so we stopped off at a kebab shop. Whilst everyone was waiting for their food, I had a sudden urge to urinate. I ducked down an alley whilst no one was looking. I pulled down my jeans and my knickers and I crouched down. I was a bit tipsy and I lost my balance mid-flow. I fell back and I couldn't stop the flow, so I ended up pissing all over myself. I quickly got up and pulled my sodden jeans and knickers up.
Oh,
luckily, they were black, so the massive piss patch wasn't noticeable. I went back to the kebab shop. The artist asked where I went. I just said I thought I heard a noise, but it was nothing. Just brushed it off.
I heard a noise. I thought I heard a noise.
The artist.
The artist.
The artist asked where I went. We got on the night bus. I was the last one on, and the beautiful artist said the only available seat on the bus was mine. He insisted that I sat down. I said no, but he really insisted. Again, I said no, but he wouldn't stop, so I sat down. I could feel the bus chair soaking up my urine like a hungry sponge. Oh, I was cringing with every second I sat and tried not to put my whole body weight on the chair. To my horror, an elderly lady got on at the next stop and everyone looked at me. I could tell what they were thinking. Get up for this old lady. I just looked away. The artist then said, you should get up now. I pretended I didn't hear him. I was trying to save her from sitting in my urine, but obviously couldn't say this. The artist was now looking at me in disgust. I couldn't take the pressure. The bus door was still open, so I just ran off, ditching my mate in any chance I may have had with a handsome up-and-coming artist.
This story's fuck all without him being called the artist.
I ran and ran.
Leaving the artist behind.
I never went to the bar again and stayed in the dives where I clearly belong. I told my mate to run off because I felt sick. I'd never even mentioned the poor old elderly lady who clearly went home with a wet bum that night. I'm going to hell for sure.
What happened to the artist?
There's Llewellyn Bowen, that's who I was seeing.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
He's a decorator. I think you've upped his status a little bit. An over-the-top decorator.
Yeah.
Joe Wilkinson and David Earl will now choose their favourite rumour.
Okay, right, here are the top five from this week's episode. And they are... Number one, the wank in the Velux window. Number two, Bruce's letters. Number three, Sir is fit. Number four... Morris's fourth favourite wank. And number five, the artist.
The artist?
Artist.
Oh, the artist, yes. Oh, yeah, I know. I know him. Yeah, got it.
Cool. Okay, so number one, the wank in the Velux window. Number two, Bruce's letters. Number three, Sir is fit. Number four, Morris's fourth favourite wank. And number five, the artist.
All the wanks.
So, yeah, God, there's a lot in there. The spoon in the cock narrowly missed out. Okay, so after three, we'll choose our favourite one.
Yeah. Okay.
One, two, three.
Bruce's letters. Hey! Thank God, because we still don't know what we do.
Yeah, Bruce's letters goes through. Well done, Bruce's letters. Roll it up now. And throw it down the tube. There it goes.
Whoa,
whizzing around. And then out she pops at the end and onto the leaderboard. It'll take you through to the final stages of the world.
Your voice is slightly different. you've been doing a lot of Twitch stuff and your voice has changed. Like, you've become like a commentator.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a compliment. At all.
Okay. Right.
Plowing on.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to.
Jesus Christ.
Thanks for getting this far.
I hope they've turned off.
Go
listen to something else.
Bye, everyone.
Oh, ta-ra. Yeah, bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember, if you know of any unsubstantiated rumors, send it in to gossipmongers@yahoo.com. Until the next time, keep your little ears open for all that juicy goss. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye. Love you lots and lots. Bye for now.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes bits and bobs, we post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat. Nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl.